and welcome to Stop the Presses. Yes, indeed. Stop the Presses, your host, Mark Anderson, returning after a slight hiatus. It's always kind of tricky when you come into the new year. Many twists and turns and snares. It is the 6th of January, 2020, and hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have 2020 vision, both foresight and hindsight, when it comes to the aftermath of the reported killing of Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general, which happened, we're told, on January 3rd near an Iraqi airport. He's supposedly been in Iraq on his military excursions. My guest today is alternate current radio chief Hesher, as he's known, among other names. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show today.
No problem. Yes, Jason, as he is sometimes known, Brian, in other venues, can be heard at alternatecurrentradio.com. I know him as Hesher, and I'm sometimes on his Boiler Room show, which is a regular show, alternatecurrentradio.com. And Hesh, you were saying that yesterday you were on the Sunday Wire with Patrick Henningsen, of 21st Century Wire, talking about Soleimani. And I thought what we'd do today is kind of do a continuation and an offshoot of that and get into that. But certainly we were talking off the air. And, of course, as Americans, whether we're journalists or citizens, we don't really know, we can't know all the deep down nitty gritty facts. So we have to fall back on principle. We have to fall back on historical lessons and consider what we've learned, because hindsight is always 20/20. And what we've learned is, and I would put this out there just to get things started before we listen to a Tucker Carlson segment in a few minutes, but what we've learned is that it is often and really irrevocably folly whenever one country attacks another in a way like this, when you're not actually at war with that country. This is, whether one thinks it was a good thing to do, whether one thinks it was a bad thing to do, this is undeniably an act of war, is it not?
Yeah, I don't see how anybody can say that it's anything else at this point. I mean, I think a lot of people in the West are falling for the mass media cartel's trick of downplaying the importance of this military figure in Iran. One only has to look at some of the footage of the mourners throughout Iran and even in Iraq to see the popularity of this man and some of the other people that were killed. And it wasn't just him. So first of all, just to kind of set the context of how this is affecting people in the Middle East, that needs to be taken into account. This was not some cave-dwelling, you know, barbarian. This was a military hero. And as Patrick Henningsen pointed out on yesterday's Sunday Wire, it is difficult to even compare his popularity and level to anything that we have in the United States now. This is more like someone who has the popularity of a General MacArthur or something.
Yeah, you made a very salient point there. This was not some ragtag, ragamuffin, gig fighter that's, another soldier of fortune this year in this country, and I'm a soldier of fortune next year in another country. You know, this was not a ragamuffin. This was a uniform member of the established Iranian military, and the highest one at that. And so, yeah, to say it's anything but an act of war would be a very inaccurate thing. Now, what's going to happen from it, what's going to result from it, is anybody's guess. Of course, foresight can never be 20/20, but I think that this is where the folly comes in, that whatever President Trump's motivations might have been, whatever his intelligence might have been, and we can't know all that he knows, granted, we can say, and I'm not condemning the president, but we can say with certainty that what will result from it, the consequences, are varied and very extensive. They could go a lot of different directions. Things could escalate medium speed. They could escalate very quickly. and we really ultimately don't know where it will lead. And that's where the folly comes in, the old Pyrrhic victory, you know, the old saying, one more victory like this and we're finished. And that's what I fear, is that even if this is seen inside the Trump White House as some sort of victory, and that's being very optimistic, that it will be a Pyrrhic victory. And so that's where we stand. We're at a precipice, at a crossroads, and we don't really know where this is going to go.
Yeah, that's the problem here. And when I first heard the news on Thursday, I immediately thought to myself, okay, don't overreact.
Yes.
You know, remember what happened in Damascus a couple of years ago. Trump got some, anyone that's been following the Syria story for the last 6 years or so knows how bad the data is coming out of that and how that's being leveraged by the forces in the Atlanticist forces that want to destabilize the Middle East via the PNAC plan, essentially. Like, that is just a total hotbed for this kind of stuff. So I was really hoping that, you know, okay, maybe some data came through and clearer heads will prevail within 24 to 48 hours. And it doesn't look that way to me right now. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, you know, World War III is upon us, but, at this point, like, the government of Iran is very upset, and they do intend, it sounds like they intend to strike back at military targets, you know, and Trump has upped his rhetoric too. He's saying, you know, I've got 52 targets designated, and some of them are cultural, and you know what I mean? It's just like the saber rattling is at a level we haven't seen with Trump yet.
Yeah, and as we get ready to play the Tucker Carlson segment here momentarily, I'll just note that Trump has gotten very cozy with this, you might say, water-carrying partner of John McCain. The late John McCain was very tight with one Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina neocon Republican, who attended Bilderberg 2 years in a row, 2016 and 2017. And this coziness of Trump with Graham has served Trump well to some extent domestically. But when it comes to foreign policy, I think things could take a very dark turn here, because John Bolton, the former, you know, tight official there with Trump, who was recently in the Trump White House until he was let go, national security. Bolton, of course, was the notorious neocon with the cookie duster mustache who, you know, has always saber-rattled for war with Iran. Well, he got out, and when we saw him being kicked out, retired out of the Trump White House, I think a lot of us thought, well, maybe the neocons have lost their influence. But this coziness with Lindsey Graham and the pervasiveness of the neocons in the Beltway seems like a tough thing to shake, and I'm not sure that Trump got rid of the neocon influence simply by getting rid of Bolton. It appears that it's still pretty strong. And this seems to be the mentality, even though Trump says he has an America first foreign policy. I only see that to a degree. I'm seeing partly, at least, a neocon foreign policy. Your thoughts?
Well, this is becoming a touchy topic, because the MAGA crowd, the folks on the right, they get really upset when you don't say, oh, this is 4D chess, you know, this is, you know, all according to Trump's grand plan. You know, you get, all of a sudden you get called a terrorist sympathizer or a Putinist, or, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's affecting the discourse. And I'm trying to find common ground with these people. And, you know, because I think we would have it if the context wasn't so screwed up. And the context is screwed up when it comes to Iran because of decades of CIA propaganda about Iran and CIA intervention in the Middle East. So it becomes a complicated problem to talk about. But yeah, essentially what you said is exactly what's going on. This is Israeli Zionist war hawk policy coming to fruition right here. This is the dream of John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the military industrial complex and PNAC. And you know what I mean? There's so many pieces of the machinery that want this. This conflict with Iran is, and then you've got folks like Pence, who may have actual like biblical reasons to see this happen. You know what I mean? Someone pointed that out on Sunday Wire, that there is a cadre, a bit of deep state actually that, you know, really does want to usher in the second coming and the third temple and all this stuff, you know. So to them, a giant nuclear conflagration in the Middle East is a good thing. And that, in my opinion, is psychotic. And I'm not alone. There's millions of other people on this planet that think that is psychotic. So we got to kind of break these things apart when it comes to like discussing this with our audience, with our listeners.
Yes.
And, you know, no, like, am I saying Soleimani was a great guy? No, I'm not saying that. But the ramifications of what we've done, of what the establishment has done here, are unknown at this point, and they could be very big. They could be very big, and no one consulted anyone on it. It just happened.
And on that note, Hesher, let's now play the clip of Tucker Carlson. The reason I want to play this is because he, too, has been supportive of the MAGA crowd and, like many of us, has supported Trump in a number of domestic and some foreign policy areas. And so it's a lot for Tucker to say what he's about to say. So let's listen to this, and I think it sets the right context in what we're talking about. Let's go with that right now.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Yesterday, as you know, an American airstrike killed an Iranian general called Qasem Soleimani. For the past 21 years, Soleimani commanded the Quds Force, which is responsible for paramilitary operations outside the national borders of Iran. In that role, Soleimani was believed to be a patron of the Shia militias that regularly attacked American troops during the Iraq War. He was also a major player in Syria during their civil war, as well as in the campaign against ISIS. Though he was little known to the American public, Soleimani was among the most famous living figures in Iran and also among the most powerful, according to some accounts, second only to the supreme leader of that country. The Iranian government has already vowed to extract what it has called forceful revenge against the U.S. in response to his death. Now, whether that will happen and what form it might take remains to be seen. But it's no exaggeration to say that by the next time this show airs, we could be engaged in a conflict, a real conflict, with Iran. From Iran's perspective, we're already there. If Iranian forces killed the chairman of our Joint Chiefs of Staff, for example, would you consider it an act of war? You would. So what happened yesterday wasn't just another symbolic bombing sortie of the kind we've seen in Syria. It was a pivot point. Neocons in Washington understood that immediately. Congratulations to all involved in eliminating Qasem Soleimani, tweeted disgraced former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Hope this is the first step to regime change in Tehran, end quote. That, of course, has been the neocon objective all along. The president, though, has for years opposed that objective and in a statement said that regime change and war are not the point at all.
We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now. If Americans anywhere are threatened, we have all of those targets already fully identified, and I am ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary.
According to the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, meanwhile, Soleimani was killed to forestall planned attacks on Americans. But as he later conceded, those attacks would have occurred in the Middle East, not here in America.
President Trump's decision to remove Qasem Soleimani from the battlefield saved American lives. There's no doubt about that. He was actively plotting in the region to take actions, a big action as he described it, that would have put dozens, if not hundreds, of American lives at risk. And last night was the time that we needed to strike to make sure that this imminent attack that he was working actively was disrupted.
Was there any imminent threat to the U.S. homeland?
These were threats that were located in the region.
threats in the region. If you don't live in Washington, here's the translation. That would be in hostile Middle Eastern countries, places where American troops would never be in the first place were it not for the insistent demands of non-geniuses like Max Boot and John Bolton. But never mind. No one in Washington is in mood for big picture questions right now. Questions, the obvious ones, like, is Iran really the greatest threat we face? And who's actually benefiting from this? And why are we continuing to ignore the decline of our own country in favor of jumping into another quagmire from which there is no obvious exit? By the way, if we're still in Afghanistan 19 years, sad years later, what makes us think there's a quick way out of Iran? And so on. Nobody is thinking like that right now. Instead, chest beaters like Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska are making the usual warlike noises, the ones they always make. This is very simple, Ben Sasse wrote in a statement last night. General Soleimani is dead because he was an evil bastard who murdered Americans, which is essentially true. Soleimani was certainly a bad guy. But does that make killing him, quote, very simple? It does not. Nothing about life and certainly nothing about killing is ever very simple. And any politician who tells you otherwise is dumb or is lying. Yes, Soleimani was linked to the deaths of Americans. Nobody mourns his passing. But Mexico and China are also linked to the deaths of Americans. Each has flooded our country with narcotics from which tens of thousands of Americans die every single year. Not that anyone in power cares. So does that mean we get to bomb Oaxaca? Can we start assassinating generals in the People's Liberation Army? Maybe. Maybe Ben Sasse will call for that, too. He's a former consultant and a very tough character. But before we enter into a single new war, there's a criterion that ought to be met. Our leaders should explain to us how that conflict will make the United States richer and more secure. There are an awful lot of bad people in this world. We can't kill them all. It's not our job. Instead, our government exists to defend and...
We'll cut it off right there. That's just about the whole thing. Pretty interesting, is it not, Hesh? Tucker Carlson, a pretty strong supporter, one of the most strong supporters, one of the strongest in the mainstream media for Trump. He's going out on something of a limb here and making some very strong points. You'd almost think he was part of our media.
Yeah, really. I know. You got to wonder if how long he's going to be able to maintain in mainstream media. I don't know. I feel like he and a couple others are sort of allowed to have that crossover that we do. I don't know if they're blessed with good producers or what, or if they just really are the only ones that bring in the numbers anymore, because the viewership across mainstream media is abysmal. It is tanking so badly. I mean, it's down every year. Every year it's down, down, down. So there's not that many people watching this stuff anymore. Most people don't want to hear it.
What's interesting before we come to the first break is he asked the rhetorical question, is Iran really such a threat, and who's benefiting from this anyway? Mm-hmm. Very interesting questions, and the answer is right on the tip of his tongue. And we'll talk about more of it after the break, but I'm really quite impressed with this because this is one of Trump's, again, biggest mainstream media supporters, not condemning Trump and not calling for people not to vote for Trump, but giving this whole thing a reality check, a bigger reality check than I expected. I was quite surprised and impressed, I must say, with his commentary.
Yeah, if you were to flip it over to Hannity or something, he'd probably be saying that Iran is the number one state sponsor of terror in the world and blah, 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 you know, just all the Pentagon lines that we've been hearing for years.
And we'll be right back with more with Hesh of Alternate Current Radio after these messages.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson coming to you live here on the 6th of January 2020. My guest is Hesher of AlternateCurrentRadio.com, where he does the Boiler Room and participates in other broadcasts such as yesterday's Sunday Wire, where he and Patrick Henningsen, I think maybe others, discuss the Soleimani affair as we're continuing today and kind of branching out with this. Hesher, what Carlson said really is interesting and really pivotal, not just the event itself, but his commentary. It's almost like he borrowed a page from the alternative media and is really calling out the neocons who, let's face it, are largely hidden in terms of their influence, even in the best parts of the conventional media. So he's really opening a wide door here and letting America peek inside. And what's interesting and ironic about it, in my opinion, is that Trump, to a reasonable and admirable degree, has mitigated against the deep state. But one possibility here is, well, there's a fork in the road, and we talked about this a little bit off the air. One possibility is that he was cajoled or schnookered or hoodwinked or flim-flammed into doing this by neocon influences, most notably John McCain's former sidekick, the current Senator Lindsey Graham out of South Carolina.
And Pompeo.
And Pompeo coming out of the neocon mold, cut from largely the same cloth. And musical chairs, right? He was a Kansas congressman, and then he's Secretary of State after he was CIA chief. Kind of moving him around, that's kind of weird too. But the other fork in the road is that this was largely of Trump's volition. Now, maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I have a tendency to think it's the former, that Trump was given a scenario that he bid onto and he took the bait. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's possible, and if that's the case, it's a shame, because some more forbearance and forethought should have been put into the ramifications of this one, no matter what the squawking hawks like Pompeo are trying to tell him. Look, even if there was immediate danger to contractors and military bases in the Middle East. Is that something unexpected for people that work those jobs? I mean, I'm a little unclear about that. And if it was, if it was an appropriate response to something, that's one thing. But like we've already established, the notoriety, stature, and level of these people that have been taken out are so high that, you know, as you pointed out before the show, it would be similar to like if General Mattis were visiting allies in Canada and an Iranian SU fighter came over and killed our, one of our top generals and our Secretary of State and, 15 to 25 other people at different sites all in one strike, you know. So to say that, oh, our troops were in danger in the Middle East, well, let me ask you this. Which country in the Middle East have our troops been invited into where they're in the most danger? I'm having a hard time thinking of one. It seems to me they're an occupying force in Afghanistan. They're an occupying force in Syria. They're an occupying force in Libya. Look at Libya now, human slavery running rampant. And Iraq, we've got over 100,000, 500,000, I can't remember the absurd number of dead children that Madeleine Albright laughed about and said was worth it. And we went into all of this, especially Iraq, based on lies, based on known lies. So that hindsight you were talking about, that 2020 hindsight, for people that are cheering this on right now and saying, well, Trump knows he's doing the chess and the military knows they're doing the chess, they're not the ones doing the chess, and if they are, we need to restructure how we think about them, perhaps, because this is very likely being based on a lie. Also, there is no evidence. They've provided no evidence whatsoever of said threat, and there's no way to balance out whether this was an appropriate response to said threat, but I don't see how it can be. Logic dictates that it's very unlikely that it can be an appropriate response.
Yeah, I would note that, as I acknowledged briefly earlier in today's show, that there are going to be things Trump and his team know that we don't know that might give us a bigger picture if we knew those things. Again, I'm not hammering Trump too hard, but I will say that the contractor who was reportedly killed, an American contractor, which preceded the killing of Qasem Soleimani, hardly seems a equal value target. So we lose a contractor in a war-torn, dangerous, always perpetually dangerous part of the world. I'm not saying it's good that we lost that contractor, God rest his soul and his family, but does that justify taking out a top Iranian general if, in terms of cause and effect, in terms of this for that? It hardly seems like it does. And like you're saying there, we're getting into the here at the bottom of the hour momentarily, you know, where are our troops? Are they anywhere where they've been invited? No. Is there any place that they're occupying that has ever been safe from attack, completely safe? No. Are some places safer than others? Yes. But it's a quagmire in terms of our interventionist foreign policy, and we'll be right back with more after these messages.
Simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Returning to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson. It's the 6th of January, 2020. My guest is Hesher of Alternate Current Radio. We'll talk a little bit later, Hesher, about how to listen to your show and what you might have upcoming. In a moment, I'm going to read President Trump's remarks that were made January 3rd, right on the day of the killing of Soleimani, in the interest of fairness and complete information. But I'll note, Hesher, before I do that, and this is just a footnote, we can't make too much out of it, but I recall that not only was Lindsey Graham as well as Tom Cotton at Bilderberg 2017 in Chantilly, Virginia, and they're both neocons, but the year before in Dresden, Germany, Mr. Graham also went to Bilderberg that year. And then I recalled that Mike Pompeo made a Bilderberg appearance in Bern, Switzerland, well, actually in Montreux, Switzerland, on the shore of Lake Geneva, this past 2019 Bilderberg meeting. And the opening paragraph of the New York Times, which broke its silence on Bilderberg, is as follows. It's just an interesting, curious point. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is on a week-long trip to Europe where he is raising sensitive issues with national leaders, from Iranian missiles to Chinese technology to the economic collapse of Venezuela. But the most colorful conversations could take place this weekend out of public earshot in a secretive conclave at a Swiss lakeside resort. So sensitive issues such as Iranian missiles were on Pompeo's mind, at least on his agenda, when he went to Bilderberg this past year, this past summer. Not that that's a huge smoking gun, but it is a notable item. Your thoughts on that before I read some of Trump's comments?
Yeah, very interesting. I also heard there was a meeting at Mar-a-Lago just before this all happened. I wouldn't be surprised if he was there, too. I had an article with all those details, but I cannot find it at the moment. But yes, carry on.
Well, at any rate, here is some of what President Trump said on January 3rd, the day Soleimani was taken out. As president, my highest and most solemn duty is the defense of our nation and its citizens. Last night, at my direction, there's probably adjustment for the time difference there, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel, but we caught him in the act and terminated him. Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous. To terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American, we will find you, we will eliminate you. We will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds force, under Soleimani's leadership, has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket attacks that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly, that's that contractor, as well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad, were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today, January 3rd, 2020, we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been perpetuating acts of terror to destabilize the Middle East for the last 20 years. What the United States did should have been done long ago. A lot of lives would have been saved. Now, that's about, at least half of it. Before I get your comments, I would point out a couple of things that are curious. And I'm not going to say Trump's right or wrong or lying, telling the truth. They're just interesting points. It says, but we caught him in the act. Sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel. We caught him in the act. That practically means that the gun was cocked and the trigger was ready to be pulled. And, you know, you have to wonder how true that is, because obviously it's a good selling point. If you catch someone in the act, what do you expect? You got to take them out, right? But I do wonder, was he really caught in the actual act of doing this or not? And the other thing that I find a little ominous is America's policy is unambiguous. To terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American, we will find you, we will eliminate you. Now, you can look at that two different ways. You can look at that as, well, this is a stiff-spined president. He's got his spine. He's got his NADs in place. He's going to do what has to be done. And some people will say that's a good thing. The other way of looking at that is an almost frightening amount of power and authority vested not so much with Trump alone, but in the whole idea that the United States can police the world and have that kind of killing power, that kind of discretion, to say, there's a terrorist, we define who the terrorist is, we define and report what he is doing, and we alone can kill this person on command without there being a declaration of war, without there being even an authorization of war, and without there even having to be an announcement of any kind. And of course, they'll say, well, we can't give away our intel. But the flip side of that is killing anytime, anywhere, for any reason, with no restraint.
That's a massive problem. First, I'll say the Trump speech sounds to me like it was written by a sock puppet in the Pentagon or by Pence or Pompeo themselves. I don't, for a minute, run under the assumption that those are Trump's words, even though he's delivered them. And to say that he was on his way to do a terrorist act and expect everybody to just believe it is a far stretch. You know, I know a lot of people do, but you know, if you do just believe anything that comes out of Trump's mouth or a Republican president's mouth, just because they're on your team.
Or any politician.
Any politician. Yes, you're falling into the same trap that people on the left were doing when Obama was doing insane acts, you know? Not everything he did was awful. Most of it was pretty not good. But, you know, it's the same with Trump. We have to hold these people to account. And, you know, to say that, to just take his word that he was on his way to do some heinous terrorist act is not enough in this day and age with what we know about propaganda and deep state intervention and military and all of this. So it's not enough. And from what we're seeing, Soleimani and his team were on the way to actually engage in peace talks. That's one thing that I've seen. I don't have that article in front of me. I'll send it to you after the show if you want to put it on your show page. But there is a very good chance that this was a diplomatic trip, and it was going to be discussing easing tensions with Saudi Arabia. So I'm trying to think of a country that might not want to see that happen. Gee, can anybody fill me in? I'm thinking of, yeah, maybe Israel wouldn't want to see that happen. And again, I will stress that I think that is probably where the intelligence came from. So, you know, that is another case of if that is true, forbearance and foresight should have been used instead of becoming the fish with a hook in mouth. So he might have been on a diplomatic trip. Where's the intel? Where did it come from? Who benefits from a military move like this by the U.S.? Does the U.S. really benefit?
As Tucker Carlson also asked.
Yes, exactly. So even if this did stop an asymmetric attack on our troops or contractors or allied troops and contractors, let's keep in mind these folks are working a dangerous job. They know what they're doing. They're uninvited. They're in an asymmetrical war zone working with proxy armies, multinational military interests, concurrent intelligence operations, trying to do regime change and building proxy armies. So, you know, that whole thing about protecting everybody over there by committing a major multinational act of war is whack. And the other thing that's whack is the idea of a world police state, of this country being a world police state, of bipartisanly our Congress and Senate passing NDAA, Patriot Act, all this other garbage where they can now, they can hook anyone up in this country they want. They can detain you as long as you want. They can go detain anyone in any other country as long as they want. They can take you from this country to another country, detain you as long as they want. They can do acts of war, apparently. They can kill generals in other countries with F-15s and drones and assassinate people. And this goes on and on and on. And we're supposed to all just think, oh, it's okay because we're the moral authority. We're the world police. Why are we the moral authority? Look what's going on right here within our borders. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, that's just it. Is how much hubris can a nation withstand before it falls by the weight of its own pride? That's the thing here. And it's a perfectly fair question, and it is not anti-Semitism. Don't even go there to ask if Israel, the Mossad, the Israeli Defense Forces, and that whole regime, if they are the main beneficiaries. And I think that that's where Tucker Carlson was going with that. He couldn't say it in this politically correct age, overly sensitive age that we live in, but I'm pretty sure my gut's telling me right that that's what he was referring to as well. And if we want to talk about the killing of Americans being the criterion for revenge or for setting the record straight or doing a military strike, then the USS Liberty in the waters off the coast of Egypt in June of 1967, where the Israeli army knowingly and willfully killed 34 Americans and wounded even more, would have qualified way back then.
And yes.
So, you know, and I believe there's some evidence, I'm not going to say there's a lot, there is some evidence that the U.S. Marines killed in the early 80s in those barracks, where was that? In the early 80s, there were 200 submarines killed in the barracks in Lebanon, was it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and again, there was some breadcrumbs and fingerprints pointing to the Mossad on that one. So if Americans being killed in violent ways in the Middle East is the criteria for killing high-level terrorists up to and including generals, then we would be in much more aggressive war all the time. And thank God it never went out that way, or never happened that way. And that's another point. Quickly, is a top general in any military, including the Iranian military, is it, how would you say it, is it kosher, pardon the expression, to call him a terrorist? I mean, if militaries commit acts of violence, we rarely call them acts of terror. Acts of terror are typically, not always, but typically applied to non-state actors. Mm-hmm. So this is a state actor. This is an official top dog of the military. Is he a terrorist in the strict sense of the word?
No, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, and I'm not saying, again, is this a great dude or anything like that, but...
Right, neither am I.
But this is a case of global ease being applied. It's the same thing as calling duly elected foreign presidents regimes. You know what I mean? They do that to Bashar al-Assad. They call it a regime, but he was like a landslide election. You know, over 75% of the citizens elected that guy president. So, you know, it's language to keep people people's head in the sand is my opinion on that. And, you know, one thing I also want to add, and you're right, that was in Beirut, 1983, the attack on the military barracks there. But one thing I want to add, this was a great point that was made by... let me bring it up. Let me pass the mic to you for a moment. I'm going to bring this up. I'll get back to me on this.
Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more of Trump's statement. We took no action last night to stop a war. We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. I have deep respect for the Iranian people. They are a remarkable people with an incredible heritage and unlimited potential. Well, that's refreshing. We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now. The future belongs to the people of Iran, those who seek peaceful coexistence and cooperation, not the terrorist warlords who plunder their nation to finance bloodshed abroad. The U.S. has the best military by far anywhere in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. If Americans anywhere are threatened, we have all of those targets already fully identified, and I am ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary, and that particularly refers to Iran. So a real mixed bag there. There's deep respect for the Iranian people, and yet, you know, I get the same gut feeling you do, Hesh, that this feels like not so much a Trump composition. This feels like he might have, changed a couple paragraphs or commas or semicolons, but this feels like it was written by a neocon committee and passed to Trump for his final approval. We could be wrong, but it has that feeling.
It's almost garbledygook to me. I mean, the circular logic there, the contradictions, it's a bunch of five cent words. And okay, I found the quote I wanted here. This was read by someone named Moradi on Iranian TV. He says, he was asked a question. In your opinion, if anyone around the world wants to take their revenge on the assassination of Soleimani and intends to do it proportionately in the way you suggest that we take one of theirs, now that they've got one of ours, who should we consider to take out in the context of America? And think about this. This is actually pretty profound, because I was wondering, his response is a little profound, because I was wondering, when I saw the level of support and grieving that Soleimani was getting, I thought to myself, wow, if that hypothetical that you thought up, you know, if Mattis was taken out on a diplomatic trip to Canada by Iran, you know, would we do, how much of our population, especially young people, even know who Mattis is, you know, who can even name one general? So this guy replies, he says, think about it. Are we supposed to take out Spider-Man and SpongeBob? They don't have any heroes. We have a country in front of us with a large population and a large landmass, but it doesn't have any heroes. All their heroes are cartoon characters. They're all fictional.
Yeah, there are some that assign Trump some hero status for helping the domestic side of things and a little bit on the foreign policy side. But here's the irony, and we're going to bring in a caller in a moment. We got about 9 minutes left in the show. The irony is, and I think we're stressing this as much as we need to, it probably can't be stressed too much, is that Trump did say, and he has done, a lot to mitigate against the deep state in many ways, defying the rules-based international order that started during the Bretton Woods days and pushing back on that, pushing back in a number of other areas and helping make a lot of domestic changes, redoing NAFTA, a number of things. But the thing is that this attack on Soleimani, this killing of him, reportedly, that he is portraying as a good thing, is the work of the deep state, very most likely, the very deep state that Trump feels he's opposing and ought to oppose. And we applaud him for that. But that is why we're criticizing this. We're not, at least I'm not hammering on Trump himself or his presidency per se, but I think this is the deep state in disguise. And when did Trump realize that? Because one thing I've noticed is he looks awfully solemn now. He looks a little beat up, doesn't he?
Yeah, funny how that seems to happen quickly in as second term approaches, isn't it?
Yeah, especially since January 3rd. And it could be my imagination. Maybe I'm seeing something and I'm reading too much into it. But he looks a bit beleaguered now. I sense some of his steam has been let out. And I think possibly we have to wait and see and learn what the facts are. But possibly that deep down he maybe feels he had been betrayed.
Very possible. Time will tell. I hope we get to figure out what is going on here, because if there is something like you're suggesting going on, it would definitely help his base to understand that, you know, because right now it's causing a bit of a schism in his base.
Which would be one motivation for someone to prod him into this, because they're actually not loyal to him and they would want to see him lose some of his base because they know the impeachment won't work. With that, let's take the caller we have, Tom from Florida. We got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yes, good day. Have a good year. First off, there's 278 Americans, Marines got murdered in Beirut. I have to agree with you guys on something. Maybe Israel's a lot behind us because of the nuclear deal that they're afraid that the Iranians could get another nuclear warheads like North Korea. But let's go back to this, gentlemen. When Ronald Reagan took the presidency in 1981, the day he was inaugurated in, Iranians let go 52 hostages. What do you think Ronald Reagan would have done if they wouldn't have let him go in, say, a 90-day period? What would Reagan have done in 90 days if they wouldn't have let those hostages go?
I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I'm.
I think we would have literally obliterated Iran.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Iran. I think we would have been in World War III then. Probably had a better chance at winning it when Reagan was president.
Now, yeah, good point.
What do I think would have happened? He would have definitely obliterated probably Tehran. It would have been a bad situation all around if Reagan, when he was the commander in chief, and they wouldn't have gave up the hostages. I think something really terrible would have been worse than what's happening now with Trump. Believe it or not. Under Reagan. Now, I will go to this. You got this Pigs Pelosi and you got this drunken bartender, Anacio Cortez, drunk for power. These people are criminals. These ones are inflaming the rhetoric. It's disgusting what they're doing, because imagine if we had had this under Adolf Hitler. Imagine if the media would have been like this about Hitler wasn't that bad a guy. Hitler gave us highways, freeways. He gave us a Volkswagen Beetle. Hitler was half Jewish and he wasn't a bad guy. His family's from Austria. I mean, can you imagine, let's flip this around, if Adolf Hitler would have had the same media as we have today against the president of the United States of America, okay? We all know Hitler wasn't born in Germany. He was born in Austria. We all know who his father was. I'm sure you guys know who his daddy was. You can look it up if you don't believe me, his last name. They had a big documentary on the History Channel about Eva Braun, saying her aunt and cousins are all saying she's Jewish, Eva. Now, we're getting back to Israel. Do I think Israel has something to do with this? Absolutely. Absolutely, because of the Iranians are trying to get through a nuclear bomb. Remember, Iran's got 80 million people in there, gentlemen. They got 80 million people, okay? Now, The Iranians, I believe, definitely do not care. They do not love the United States because you're always hearing all the rhetoric. Oh, we're the evil empire. We're this and that. And the same thing we got here in the United States. You were just talking about it. You got almost four, I don't know how many millions of Muslims are in this country. Do you think they all love the United States and white Christianity, gentlemen? Do you? Be honest.
No, not all.
Oh, we know okay. that.
Okay. Now, we got, listen, gentlemen.
It's a mixed bag.
Gentlemen, we got 8 million illegals in the state of California. In 1996, when I was out there, they had billboard signs everywhere. I told you, a bunch of shows, I told Michael and everything. In 1996, they had a billboard that said the land of milk and honey. The 15th largest economy in the world was California in 1996. A block mason was making $28 an hour. What do you think California is right now, gentlemen?
Oh, it's a wasteland. It's an absolute wasteland.
I went out there in 2009. I couldn't believe where I was at. Go to Anaheim, California. See what you see, gentlemen.
Disneyland. I've been there. I was there in 2012 for my friend's wedding. I'm from California. I'm a refugee. I left California 4 years ago because it got so bad.
Well, hey, my friend, my brother worked as a block mason out there for 30 years in Southern California. He worked in Oceanside. He worked in Hemet. He worked all over Winchester. He was making big money. $28 in 1996 was big money, okay? He had to leave there because they got rid of all the Anglos that were doing block. There's hardly any left. If maybe five, if they're lucky. They're all old men now, my brother told me. So the bottom line is we've been usurped in this country. We know who's behind it. You guys just talked about it. But you know what? The same people in there trying to take your guns away in this country in Israel are telling everyone to walk around with an Uzi. Okay? And the Israeli government's all making sure all their citizens, and matter of fact, I don't know if you guys saw, I don't know if you watch OAN, Breitbart, Drudge, they're all saying today, every one of the networks is reporting that the whites are not even breeding their population back. They're not even having children anymore.
Yeah, that's a
all
fact.
That, the
yep.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. We're kind of winding up today's show. Any final comment, Tom?
Can I say one more thing? Have you seen what's going on in London, England? 168 murders by knives attacked in London by Muslims. 168, most of them by Muslim males stabbing other people to death with knives, not guns. Are they going to ban knives over there?
A lot of interesting questions. Absolutely. Thanks for calling, Tom. We got to wind it up. Hesher, I want to thank you for being on today's show.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. Everybody can find us at alternatecurrentradio.com. I host the Boiler Room.
Absolutely. I am a sometimes guest on there along with many others. And we'll see you next time, Hesher, and those listening live and on the archive. We'll catch you next time on Stop the Presses. Have a great day.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.